Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Dana Marie Kennedy, who is the Arizona State Director for AARP. And we're going to be discussing advocacy and dementia. Today, we want to provide encouragement and empowerment when it comes to advocacy, especially as a caregiver. Your voice and your story hold power. Whether you're speaking to elected officials, medical providers, or other community members, your voice is important. I think back to some of the interviews that we have done in previous seasons about the incredible advocacy work that is happening. And often when we use the term advocacy, people think elected officials, but advocacy is happening every single day. Like our conversation with Roger Marple, who is living with dementia, who advocated in the grocery store for better treatment. Or Arthena Kasten, also living with dementia, who had to advocate with her doctor for an accurate diagnosis. It's so important that we're speaking up and sharing our voice.
It's so true, Heather. And to those who are out there and you are getting the courage to speak up, you're living with dementia, thank you. To those who are caregivers and care partners, I just want you to take a moment and know we appreciate you so much, especially when it comes to advocating when you are caregiving. So everybody, take a deep breath and give yourself a high five, a hug, or a pat on the back, because caring for yourself or caring for another person, it just has so many challenges. And so often the caregivers step up on behalf of the person living with dementia. And I just want you to know, we thank you. And today I'm looking forward to spotlighting how advocacy and raising awareness can positively impact people on an individual level, on their families, and the community at large. So sharing your voice, like Heather said, your story is so powerful, and I'm looking forward to talking to Dana, and she has been so very successful with advocacy and raising awareness about aging and Alzheimer's disease and dementia, so this is going to be a great conversation.
Welcome, Dana. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
I'm really curious to learn some more about you. Could you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
Absolutely. So I was very blessed to have great relationships with my grandparents as well as my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather lived to be 99 years old, and he did not suffer from any dementia, but he did lose two wives. And so he had macular degeneration. So he actually came to live with my mom and myself when I was in high school. And he had lived with his daughter and my grandfather or his son-in-law prior to living with my mom. And they just did not get along at all. There was, you know, just a little fighting about how they live their life. And so it was just seemed to be a better fit when he came to live with my mom and myself. And we would go on vacation together and just have fun. And so I always knew that I wanted to work with older people. So when I was in college, I ended up becoming a caregiver. And it was the beginning stages of somebody who had a stroke and started to have dementia. So I actually watched her journey of being fairly vibrant until the very end, where she was hardly able to, she couldn't even feed herself. And so it really made me realize that everybody's aging experience is different. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school and got my degree in social work. And so I did a lot of after I graduated with my bachelor's degree with a certificate in gerontology as well as social work, I became a home health and hospice social worker. And so I helped family members navigate the journey of caring for their loved ones. And sometimes that meant placement. Sometimes it meant bringing somebody in and helping. Sometimes it meant them doing all the caregiving themselves. A lot of times it's dependent on financial resources, as far as what that looks like and how much, you know, the state helps with providing some additional assistance to help people, what we call age in place. And so everybody's aging in place experience is also different. So I was very blessed, but I also saw a very broken long-term care system. So I decided to go and get my master's degree, which was also in social work, but I wanted to focus more on public policy. And so I got my master's degree in social work from Boston University. And I worked for an advocacy organization. And that just opened my eyes up tremendously, working with local elected officials, as well as the state legislature, as well as national. So when I, you know, finished graduate school, I went to Washington, D.C., and I worked for an advocacy organization called the National Council of Senior Citizens. And so that became my journey, was really, I wanted to fix our broken long-term care system. And to this day, I don't think we've made many changes in our long-term care system. And so advocacy to me is looking at how you influence systems, and those systems vary. And so you were talking earlier about, you know, the hospital system. Sometimes it could be, you know, just advocating within the physician and making sure that they hear you and that they understand your journey. So that's kind of a little bit of how I ended up where I'm at. So I can say that I've, you know, done advocacy work for 25 years and I absolutely love it. And sometimes it's very frustrating because change does not happen, you know, in a large scale very often. So sometimes we need to look at how we impact change.
What an interesting story and progression throughout your career. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to learn more from you today. So could we just start with the basics? Can you give us a good definition of what is advocacy, or give us an advocacy 101 class?
You know, to me, advocacy is speaking up for yourself or for others. And I think that, you know, we often think that advocacy is, you know, voting for, you know, the president of the United States or maybe, you know, Congress. And we often don't realize that advocacy, you know, starts, you know, again, it could be just making sure that your voice is heard. You know, I remember taking the person that I was a caregiver for, Frida, to the doctor, and, you know, she was do not resuscitate. And she, you know, aspirated a lot. And, you know, we constantly were taking her to the doctor because she had pneumonia. And, you know, at the very end, you know, she was on hospice, and I kept wondering, like, why is it that we continue to, you know, give her antibiotics when, you know, she can hardly eat and she would get pneumonia? And is that the right thing to do or the wrong thing? I think that's a personal choice. And that's why making sure somebody has that conversation early on regarding advanced directives for healthcare decisions is so important. And that you have those conversations early on rather than later. And I look at making sure that you have your advanced directives for healthcare decisions in place, and you've had those conversations. So a family member doesn't need to make those decisions for you. You've already made those decisions, and that way you can advocate on behalf of the person that they're asking to advocate for. So I think making sure you have everything in place is really important. And then having the conversation with your physician. And because a lot of people may have those advanced directives, but then they've never discussed their wants and their needs with the physician. And again, I think it's really important to have those conversations prior to a crisis ever happening. And I know that, you know, when I was a social worker, it was like the very first thing I asked is, do you have your advanced directives? And if they didn't have advanced directives, making sure that they were aware that this is the paperwork that you need to fill out, and these are the steps that you need to take in order to make sure that your wishes are warranted or that your wishes are taken seriously. And so that's one way of advocating, but then also, you know, a lot of the work we're doing right now with city councils is to make sure that our communities are dementia friendly. And a lot of people don't think that city council members have anything to do with dementia or Alzheimer's, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, a lot of times the resources that are available to help you age in place are right there at the city level. And city councilors are making decisions on budgets every single day regarding adult daycare, which is a great way for a family member to be able to make sure that somebody can, you know, live in their own home, but that they also get that socialization at an adult daycare. And, you know, cities often just determine, you know, if they're going to fund a program like that. So it's really important that you look at the city as well as, and then we look at the state legislature. You know, we were able to advocate for a caregiver tax credit. It ended up not being a tax credit, but it was a reimbursement program. So right now we actually have a program where if you need to modify your home, you're actually eligible for a reimbursement, and you just have to call the Arizona Caregiver Coalition and make sure you have your receipts. So if you need to put a ramp in your house or any type of adaption, so it could even be hearing aids, or your car may need to be modified. These are all things that you can get reimbursed for. So it's, you know, if you spend $2,000, you can get $1,000 reimbursed. And that's, you know, money that you can put into other aspects of keeping people safe in their own home. You know, there's so much technology now to help people age in place as well. So you can get reimbursed for that technology that you may be investing in. You know, right now, you know, we're looking at legislation to, you know, reduce prescription drug costs at the federal level. And we're also, you know, we're also advocating for a caregiver tax credit at the federal level as well. And we're also advocating for more additional resources for home and community-based services. So advocacy happens at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level, and it also happens, you know, just within your own healthcare system.
Thank you so much. That the work that you're doing is absolutely incredible. And thank you for just speaking up on behalf of so many people and making a difference. And even though it might take more time than we hope, you are at it every day. And we just appreciate you so very much. And I like how you just shared, you simplified it for us by speaking up, whether it be with our physician or at a community level. Dana, you were one of our first Dementia Friend champions in all of Arizona. And I'm so thankful about how you have worked to help us see our communities become more dementia friendly as dementia is impacting more and more people at such an astronomical rate. Can you tell us about the importance of building awareness when it comes to dementia-friendly communities?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember, and keep in mind, you know, advocacy starts again, it could happen at the city level. And many people may know, you know, Harry Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And he was a congressman, he was a mayor, he was a city council member. And then we had Mayor Mark Mitchell. And, you know, his mom, or Harry's wife, Miriam, she had dementia. And I remember meeting her early in his career when she was starting to have some memory loss. And I talked to them at that point in time. And so Mark Mitchell, at the time he was mayor, he wanted to make sure that Tempe was dementia friendly. And it was, you know, part of a national program that was started, but he had a stakeholder meeting. And we had and it was on a Saturday, and it was at a facility. And I remember, you know, it was a city facility and right by Tempe Town Lake. And I remember that day well, because we, you know, broke into groups and, you know, they wanted to make sure that everybody was heard. And we talked everything, you know, about how we made sure that Tempe was dementia friendly. And, you know, we had a lot of stakeholder meetings, and it goes down to, you know, just simple restrooms, the signage on a restroom. I didn't realize that people could go into a restroom and get completely lost and not know how to get out. And at the time we were actually doing healthy rhythm drum circles. And we had a person that had come to one of our drum circles, and sure enough, they went into the restroom and they couldn't figure out how to get out. And we were wondering what happened to them. And so it was like one of those aha moments that this could happen to anybody, anywhere. And so, you know, making sure that the signage is appropriate, and that somebody, if they do go into the restroom by themselves, that they can figure out how to get out. And then also just firefighters. Just recently, there was a person with dementia in one of the cities that, likes to have coffee with friends. But he, sometimes wanders and goes into a restroom and, whether he was a nuisance or something else, but the police officers knew him fairly well, and they would just take him home. But it goes back to, educating our first responders about people with dementia and Alzheimer's and how they may be combative or they may be forgetful, but making sure that they respond and speak to them properly and that they don't escalate the situation and rather they de-escalate it. And so that's just a really great example of just where the community came, at the local level. And they also want to make sure that they had resources to help people age in place. And now we have many cities that are actually doing dementia friendly. And, they have memory cafes where a person with dementia can go to, a memory cafe and they can get some stimulation. We know how important it is that people don't suffer in isolation, that they actually get out of the house, are able to be engaged in some type of activity. We know music is a great therapy for people with dementia and it helps them spur their memory. And so we, we're proud of the fact that we're doing this in many cities and towns. And, people are just finding out about it and there's resources to how to go through the whole process and doing stakeholder meetings and making sure that everybody in the community, banks are aware of people with dementia and how to address, if a family member comes in with them and, tries to take money that, you could actually alert, make sure that they have, that they're supposed to be doing that, that there's a guardian. And, even at the grocery store, making sure that, we are able to address people with dementia. I know even the airport right now is dementia friendly, where if you have somebody who is traveling with dementia, that they could basically get a certain, like a tag around their neck that alerts the security and the TSA officers that this is somebody who has dementia and might want to treat them a little bit differently and that they're trained in how to deal with people with dementia. So it's just so important that we're training people to be able to communicate appropriately. The other thing that I wanted to kind of mention about advocacy and working with elected officials is every, congressional office has a caseworker they have caseworkers. And, for Senator Sinema's office, she actually hires social workers who are caseworkers. And those are people who can, connect you to resources that you may not be aware of. And I just want to stress that advocacy is nonpartisan, and elected officials are elected to represent you. So a lot of times we think that, we put them up on pedestals, and remember, they represent you. So whether they're Democrat, Independent, Republican, Green Party, Libertarian, it doesn't matter. They represent you and they need to hear from you. And sometimes that means, calling their office and sharing your story or getting the help and assistance and resources that you need. I just really wanted to stress that, we think of advocacy and I want to make sure that everybody understands it's nonpartisan and party affiliation doesn't matter. And every single congressional office has people that are there to help you. So you can call them and ask for assistance if you're having problems with Medicare or Social Security or disability benefits, or you have an IRS issue. They're there to help you.
Thank you for that reminder, Dana. And I think important work happening in that Dementia Friends movement, a lot going on in Arizona locally here, but Dementia Friends is actually a national movement. So our listeners who are maybe not in the Southwest, you can look more locally to see if something is happening in your area around that.
And Heather, not only is it national, but it's global. And it started in the UK, and it's so exciting to see the movement and how it's really making a difference in people's lives right here in Arizona.
And what I like about it is all about awareness. Once we, all these examples you were giving, Dana, the first responders, the banks, it starts with just making them aware of something. I wonder, AARP works more broadly with older adults and rather than just caregivers of people living with dementia. So what are you seeing are the biggest concerns or the biggest causes for action or advocacy for people who are aging and even people who are living with dementia?
You know, I think that we're making a lot of progress as far as raising the awareness that, you know, being given a dementia diagnosis isn't a life-ending sentence. And we want to make sure that people live their best lives. And that's actually the mission of AARP, is to help people live their best lives at any age. And the older you are, the more likely you are of getting some kind of chronic illness, including dementia. And so it's so important that we continue to educate people on trying to get a diagnosis early on if you start to see the signs and symptoms. But we're working on, you know, making sure that caregivers have the resources they need. And I think that's one thing that I have really focused on, is resources are so important and people don't understand where to go for help. And I just kind of want to give some basic resources, not to promote AARP, but to get people the resources that they need. And they can go to aarp.org/caregiving. And from there, we have what's called a caregiver resource guide. And it's a prepare to care guide. And it's a planning guide for families. And it walks you through everything that you need to think about. And this is, you know, prior to dementia, we always say, you know, it's better to have that conversation early before a crisis happens. And we also have local resources, but, you know, in every community, there's an area agency on aging, which is basically they have an information referral source. So it's really important that, you know, I think that people get resources and that they know where to start. I know, you know, when COVID happened, you know, we told everybody to stay home and people didn't realize, well, you know, you can get meals delivered to your home through the local area agency on aging. And so every community has that. It's funded at the federal level. And then sometimes the state provides more resources, and sometimes your local communities through the county and the city provide more resources. So just knowing that, you know, you can go to aarp.org/caregiving and download that prepare to care guide. And then also, depending on where you live, there may be a local resource guide that you can download as well. And it kind of walks you through the different organizations. We only put nonprofits in there. So they're, you know, organizations that are funded specifically to help people with their journey.
Thank you so much for sharing these resources. Sometimes people will hear about a resource and it actually is a lifeline for them. I remember talking to someone about her neighbor who was a caregiver, and she said, "I just feel like I have a tornado going on in my life. And when I reached up and I got one resource, it made such a difference for me." So thank you so much for sharing those important resources. And then thank you again for going back and talking about just knowing where to start and talking about speaking up. So sometimes it takes a lot of courage to speak up, but do you have any tips on how a person might move from having a thought or a concern to making a step and taking action?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you asked me earlier about advocacy, and advocacy could be making a phone call to an elected official's office. And, you know, if you could hear about, you know, "I'm hearing about this legislation regarding caregivers, you know, to support caregivers," or "I want more resources for Older Americans Act," or "I want more research through the Alzheimer's research." A simple call to, you know, your either local or federal or state elected officials, and just let them know, you know, that you're advocating for certain things. A lot of times you're just a checkbox, you know, but they know that, oh, we're getting a lot of calls for, you know, funding for dementia. Or for transportation. Sharing your story is really important as well. So you can make phone calls, you can send an email through their website, you can write a letter. That's probably the most impactful, is to write a handwritten letter or a typed letter, you know, with your signature.
Oh, good to know.
A personal letter. That is what's going to get the most attention. Again, you know, some of these elected officials get tons of phone calls. So, but those handwritten letters, they usually may actually end up in the hand of the elected official, depending on what your story is, or you may get a call from the caseworker finding out, you know, say we want more information. You know, sometimes we teach people how to testify, you know, on a bill in front of, you know, the state legislature, or sometimes even city council, and sharing your story. So you want to keep it short. You're not going to have a lot of time, but it's important. So sometimes people just go into a city council meeting and say, you know, I wish my city would become dementia friendly. And, you know, almost every city council meeting starts with an open session where they actually want to hear from residents of the city. So you can testify. That's one way. But those are different ways you can advocate, is calls, emails, writing letters, and sometimes testifying.
Dana, I wonder, you have been advocating for years, and I think sometimes people, especially when we're talking about advocating to our elected officials, writing that letter, you don't see the result from it immediately. Could you share maybe an example or two where you have seen advocacy turn into real results that impact people?
Absolutely. I mean, keep in mind, for Arizona as a state director, I represent 900,000 members. So my voice has a little bit, I'd like to say, a little bit of weight. So during COVID, when we locked family members out of long-term care facilities, I wrote letters to the governor. And after I wrote that letter, I would contact the press, and we would send those letters to the press. And the press wanted to cover it. And then, so sometimes the letters went unresponded, and we did not give up. And we were the very first state in the entire country to put together a long-term care task force. And
can we just stop right there and say kudos to you? Thank you so much for that work, Dana.
You know, nothing was more heartbreaking than listening to families who were not able to have access to their loved ones. And that injustice was at my very core. And if a family member called me, I listened to their story, and that motivated me to keep pressing on. I did not give up, no matter how many times I would just shake talking to the press, because, you know, I was putting myself out there and I was vulnerable. But we got family members in these back to be able to see their loved ones. And, you know, sometimes they would stand outside of a long-term care facility and watch the caregivers leave together, get in a car together, and go to lunch, and then come back and take care of their loved one. And they weren't able to even get inside to see their loved one. And to me, I wouldn't be silent about that. And so we did get inside these long-term care facilities, and family members were able to be unified. And to this day, they still have access to their loved ones. You know, and we made sure that the facilities got adequate testing, that they got PPE, that they got what they needed. And that's what advocacy can do. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, but we would not back down.
Dana, this has been such an interesting conversation, and I've learned so much from your stories and your experiences. Before we close today, could you give us your final thought when it comes to advocacy and dementia?
Yes, especially if you're advocating for your loved one, your voice matters. And, you know, if you're not getting the results that you think that you should have, you can definitely contact AARP. We represent a lot of people. You can also share your story with the press. The press is always looking for people to interview. So don't be afraid of that. And remember, elected officials work for us. And it doesn't matter if they're a Dem or a Republican or an independent. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. It doesn't matter if you don't vote, they still represent you. And that's their job. So we need to make sure that we don't back down when we aren't getting the results that we need. They need to hear from you, and your voice matters. So thank you. And thank you for everything that you guys do as well. I know that you work hard with, you know, so many family members, and the work you do matters.
Today, our conversation has been with Dana Marie Kennedy, Arizona State Director of AARP. We appreciate you helping us untangle advocacy and dementia.
Yes, thank you so much, Dana. Thank you for your empowerment, for your encouragement, and thank you for making a difference.
Thank you, Janice and Heather. Thank you for making a difference as well. And thank you to all of our caregivers out there. Your work matters.
And I would agree with that. Thank you so much to our incredible listeners. We're so glad that you've joined us today. And hey, if you haven't already, please subscribe to Dementia Untangled and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.